specifics, but no.
Okay.
I guess I would be interested in hearing input from the council about whether I should be telling groups that I will charge them expenses.
I don't think we'll make that decision today, but definitely it's something for us to be thinking about and want your input on it too, because again, if it's primarily focused on the prosecutor, it just happens that the police are there because it's helpful, then I would probably be reluctant to do that because I think that's part of our mission. I think some of the...
As far as Scott's question goes, I'll try to prepare something specifically for September. You know, try to break that down. How much is being spent on Donna's mileage for, you know, predominantly law enforcement versus
self-defense? It's the same with the regional updates. Those are primarily law enforcement.
Yeah. Maybe we get maybe one or two attorneys that come, but in some of the real small jurisdictions, it's just law enforcement.
And you know, I do get phone calls on regional legislative updates if there is a charge for that. So just the thought, maybe we could charge some kind of registration fee for legislative updates. We've never done that.
Yeah. All right, did you have anything else following up on that, Scott? You know what I'm talking about?
No, just welcome to that.
The old devil in the details, right?
I mean, charging for regionals is an idea, but I just can't imagine what you did, like Garfield County, King County, say we're going to charge for this. I think we're kind of lucky to be there, as it is, and I don't think they should.
Would it bug you to, though, ask Post to participate, since most of it's law enforcement?
That part won't. Garfield County can barely afford the software needed to do the filing. And I don't think they're affording it. The guys down there that fifth and sixth class that stuff.
And the other thing that where we could get Post to participate is if the officer gets Post hours for being there.
Well, yeah, they always keep a roll sheet with their number on
it. They
do. And they always submit it for Post credit.
Yeah, so.
I went and spoke at a medical conference in Vernal a couple months ago, and I said, I need you to pay my mileage and stuff, because they're, you know, that's, I mean, they wanted to hear about all this trauma stuff. And I said, well, you know, this isn't a prosecutor or law enforcement focused conference, so I'll need you to pay my expenses. Again, I didn't charge anything, but so those are the two things. I guess we should think about whether we should ask for reimbursement, and also should I charge a fee for groups like that that are doing. I went and spoke with the sexual violence treatment providers annual conference, and so things like that, should we ask for reimbursement? I think yes on the reimbursement. I don't know about a fee.
Reimbursement and maybe some type of a, I mean, obviously all this was developed with UPC resources,
right.
So why not seek some type of reimbursement? I mean, you know, some amount. I mean, no
yeah,
different
these
are, than our...
These are like emergency room doctors. I mean,
yeah.
They have money. But because it was not our usual to ask for a fee, I didn't do that. But they did pay my expenses, so UPC didn't pay them to drive out there.
Okay, so cogitate on that for a couple months.
Okay.
Give us some additional details. And send it up the flagpole and see if Paul shoots at it.
Thank you.
Mr. B.
Yes, Steve. My massive workout foot continues. No, the main thing I'm working on is a training that we put together with the Fox Lab, a federal grant, a specific federal grant to fix the 1 in 5 rejection rate of biological samples submitted to the Fox Lab. And I've never seen law enforcement more responsive to anything. In Garfield County, they didn't even wait until the training started and just crowding around us looking at our exemplar boxes, so it's pretty cool. So that's the main thing. That will finish. It's almost finished. It officially finishes at the end of July because that's when the activities have to be complete by. Reimbursement for that will be gotten by us by August 15th. That's been one of the mainstays. The second thing is, those of you who are on the UPC forum saw some time ago there was a posting about oral fluids drug testing instruments. Two of those have been purchased by UHP, and they are rolling them out with probationers first. Very important to that was, just like when breath testing instruments were introduced into the system 40 years ago, we're going to have to establish the reliability of those instruments. And the way that will happen is there's going to always be in Utah a second oral fluids test taken and shipped back blind to a lab in Pennsylvania who will confirm it, and then we'll be able to go to the Court of Appeals and say 100 times we tested and 100 times we got a blind result back, so therefore this instrument is reliable, 702, we should be able to use these as some sort of proof in a DUI drugs case. That's the goal. And we're sort of in the top 25% nationally in terms of where we are in introducing that in the state, and that's kind of a co-project between UHP and to some extent me, and that's really that. Those are the two main things, and the rest of it is reflected in the report. One thing I was going to ask them is, I go to a lot of your jurisdictions, and then I leave, and at the end of it I get a question from one of your officers, and like this happened to Barry with Garfield just a little while ago. And is everybody okay if I just respond directly to your officers and give them a legal answer to a fact scenario that comes up? I somehow feel like I should be CCing somebody, but in a big office, a relatively big office, I wonder who it should be. Like, I would think maybe Michael Edwards or something. But in some one or two person offices, I don't know what your preference is. Like, would you feel undercut or like you shouldn't have noticed if I answered a specific legal question to a Layton City PD officer?
I would hope that I would get CC'd on it, okay. but I wouldn't be offended by your.
Especially if they started on, Steve said this, but what do you
think? So a CC, should it be a CC to who in the office? Like maybe you and Marlise, that's pretty small, but.
But like for our office, it would be the chief prosecutor has base. It would be CC, and I know people want one.
Okay.
Yeah, just whoever is on your contact list that you have a relationship with, I think.
Okay, I'm going to start doing that. I've always had the sense that I should be letting you know. I did that with Barry the other last week, 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Or even if officers
would shop the opinion they want sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
So if they don't get it from their elected, then they would love to get it from you and then find comfort in that. So I'd at least like to be CC'd myself.
That makes sense. In terms of funding, my grant continues to be fairly robustly funded, and it's a stable program. It's considered by the Department of Transportation to be one of NHTSA's more effective expenditures, and so I think I don't really find myself facing or seeing myself facing any of the other those issues anytime soon. That's my report.
Thank you.
Maybe we can apply to your program to fund me.
There you go.
That's been a discussion sometimes. Seriously.
Can I say one more thing about my position? Is that if the council decides it's not worth it money-wise to fund this position, I could start seeking like CCJJ or UCASA or somebody else to have my position through their agency. So if the council decided that was better, I would need probably a couple years lead time to work on that. But so if the budget issues become a problem for UPC, I could start sinking somewhere else to fund that 10% of my salary and benefits and go be housed with them. That's just one option. I mean,
I know I'm probably preaching to the choir, but Donna's work has done more for the investigation and prosecution of crimes against women, assaults or against any persons, than anything in a very, very long time. She's almost kind of like the CCJs used to be, where they've done that training and we've gone from prosecutor filing 6% of cases that were investigated to almost a quarter. That's kind of, she's on the front end of that, getting that whole thing up and moving. And I just find her work extremely valuable. She's been just phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
And it's,
but I totally understand budget issues. I mean, if this becomes a problem for the UPC budget, this position, and again, I won't be here forever. I mean, if you're thinking 10 or 12 or 15 years down the road, it's a position that I could start lobbying with other agencies to. I've had other agencies come to me and say, we wish you were with us. You know what I mean? Still doing the same type of work I'm doing, but anyway, if the budget issues become overwhelming for UPC, I could start looking for somewhere else to house this position. So, but thank you, James.
We don't want you to go away.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, my wife always says, you're almost thinking and you're doing it out loud. And so, I mean, you know, we've got all these other state agencies now that realize, the value of Donna as well as Ed, that maybe, you know, one of the approaches we do if we try to mirror what HB 85 did is we say, at least get us these personnel costs, then the training is on us with regard to the surcharge. I mean, something as basic as that. Anyway.
Good.
Because it's obviously we could get those other agencies to, you know, to shout our accolades for us. So anyway, just a thought. All right, next up is PIMS.
We just excused Ed. He's heading to Peru. Donna and me.
And that was not in the budget.
That's on Ed's dime. And Donna needs to get to the airport, so if we can excuse her since she's done and needs to go.
She's waiting for
her. Ron was excused. He had a family issue today. So overall, the one thing I'll just mention with the case management, with PIMS, is you can read in the summary that he thinks that PIMS should be viable for at least another 5 years. He's done some testing there, so you can read about that. I've included in tab I a list of all of the jurisdictions that have paid for PIMS, this last year, just so you can see who is still using it. I don't know it's getting late, so maybe we can discuss this at another time, just to see who's leaving and who's not. I'm with Twillo. It's gone with Carpel. Utah County went with New Dawn, and I know some of the cities in Utah County are coming in under the umbrella license in Utah County, so it's like I said, it's a thing our PIMS users are going to go down. Hopefully you all have been periodically going to the webpage. We're continuing to make improvements. If you didn't get the email, the toolbox is functioning, but you have to sign in as a member, so please let us know how it's working. The motion bank, I've got several motions I just need to go in at the last council meeting. The council wants to make sure that anything we post up on the web has a watermark draft or something on it, so we've got to do that. And we have 61 registered members, so if you're not registered, please go on and join up. So that's in the nutshell on the IT stuff.
And like us on Facebook.
Oh, well, that's also really low on my to-do list is to come up with a Facebook page, but I don't do Facebook personally very much, so maybe I'd have to hire my wife to create our Facebook page. Okay, so that's it on IT.
Okay. And the web page.
Yeah.
The UPAC.
So I apologize to the council last time. Is I included my memo that I wrote.
Donuts or bagels or hot food.
under tab J, I wrote kind of a long memo. Hopefully you all had a chance to look at that. So it's like I said, as I apologize for the last council meeting, I kind of dumped, this is what has happened. And so now I'm coming back, starting the process over, is we, well, we is, I guess we're just asking, let me back up. Let me just go to my memo. As you know, last year the council approved Mark Thomas and Ryan Robinson and then myself to go to this national conference on, you know, best practices. And so we came back and, you know, we got some great ideas, and you can read all of that. Given kind of a little bit of a history on nationwide, the history of best practices committee. And even though we're not proposing what we call our committee, a best practices committee, that's just kind of the jargon, so if you'll forgive me, that's what we're going to call it, as a best practices committee. We thought that we had the council's approval to move forward. That's where we were wrong. And so, like I said, so we have come back and we are proposing to get the council's approval to organize this best practices committee. So starting at the bottom of page 2 in my memo there is essentially what we're proposing. To establish the committee, call it the Utah Prosecutor Policy and Advisory Committee. You know, have it make come up with policy, or excuse me, it will be an agency or a group that is strictly for making recommendations or has no binding authority. Creating an executive committee to make recommendations. We recognize that the committee would need to work closely with UBC, SWAP, UCDAA, open all of that. And so, as you can see, as I go down and talking about the committee members, the design or the intent would be to include representatives from each of these committees. Because we had jumped the gun and thought that we had permission, we actually went ahead and formed a committee. So, you know, unless there's an objection or you think that we should add additional people to that, what we're proposing is that the executive committee be made up of those people that are listed there: Mark Thomas from Uinta County, Julia Thomas from Utah County, Anne-Marie Howard from JUAB, Matt Bates from Summit, Ryan Robinson from West Valley, Robert Cosson from St. George, Marlise Jones from Layton, and then I would sit on as a non-voter, as a chair, but as a non-voter capacity. You know, I outlined some terms of service there, talked about what the meetings would be. Let's see. You know, the kind of policy recommendations that would be made, the areas of focus that we'd look at. And I mean, so you can, like I said, you can read that memo. Is Donna, I shouldn't have excused her quite yet, just yet. She wanted to talk about it, and she mentioned in her summary about developing best practices in the sexual assault area. When you look at her notes, it talked about the book Missoula, the study that came out of Missoula, and the feds found that women were being engaged, or that the city of Missoula was engaging in systematic discrimination against women. And just because they didn't have good policies and practices. You know, some of the other things that we talked about this morning with Sim, the Sixth Amendment issues, is what the feeling is across the country, you know, people that are doing the best practices, is if we come up with these policies and procedures that we can recommend, that we can forestall any outside agency, political action group, the legislature, you know, from dictating what we do as prosecutors. You know, so if we're ahead of that game and we've thought about it, you know, here's our policy dealing with X issue, and the legislature will say, okay, you know, we can see that you're engaged, that you're involved, we'll let you do your thing, we won't have to mandate that. These committees, they're think tanks, brain trusts, if you will. They don't, or the format for reaching decisions and, you know, coming up with a policy recommendation is they do the research. They'll meet with experts in the field. They'll you know, talk with practitioners. They'll look at what the trend is across the country. And you know, until they have come up with something that they feel is sound, is reasonable, you know, they will bring that policy recommendation back to the executive committee of the policy committee. They would talk about it, make a vote, and then, you know, they would present that, you know, here at the council, either to SWAP, to UCDA, to OOMPA, you know, to get that buy-in. But again, all they're doing is making policy recommendations. And so that, I mean, I didn't want to spend a lot of time. Like I said, hopefully sent a training memo, but that would be Mark and Ryan and I'm not a voting member, but you know, our proposal is that the council give us the go-ahead to look at organizing this committee.
Any discussion on that? See what happens after a big Sunday dinner?
Does this in any way
nap time?
Does this in any way spread us too thin? It seems like. Well, does this spread you and your staff too thin?
Well, no, because is the only reason that I had made myself chair is it just wasn't getting going, and I didn't want us to get so far behind. But so, but my intent is that once we get all of this in place, is that I no longer am the chair. I'll just, you know, be on the committee so I know what's going on. Let the committee do everything. Is you know, the research issues, they do that on their own. They, you know, it's driven by the members of that committee. I've had several people have already asked, I want to be on an ethics committee, or I want to be involved in developing, you know, Brady Giglio policy. Because I understand, you know, that was a concern you raised last time, Jan. It's a concern, obviously, that I have, is I don't want it to take away, you know, from what our mission is. But at the same time, I think it's a benefit. And I just, and I'm not quite sure where, if, I mean, I think there's a need for something like this. Just where does it fit? And so it's just UPC would, you know, it's kind of kicking it off, but ultimately it would be turned over to those committee members.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another place where it could be housed or initiated or supported.
I mean, you know, my other suggestion then, you know, if the council doesn't feel like, you know, this is the place, then maybe, you know, going to UCDA and UMBA and seeing if, you know, between the two of them, they can put together something.
You know, if we're forming, I don't want to call it policy, but if we're forming practices, I would kind of like to see a lot of buy-in from all the jurisdictions, not from the small committee for training. Mm-hmm. But once that's done, then UPC can train on that stuff, and I don't know how practical that is, but I think that having more input. And a question I had was, are we in line with all the other states? Has anybody went out and put this all together? Are we just a template from, and then have that as our starting point to work through it?
Right now, there are 18 states that have best practices committee and 12 other states that are in various stages of going together. Most are following the model from New York, so I'll just briefly explain how that goes. Is their District Attorneys Association, which is equivalent of UCDA, they, you know, established it. They're the, what do I want to say, the governing body in the state. And I don't know, Chris Hammond asked me, she's the fellow from D.C., is who is the governing body for prosecutors in the state? And I said, well, that's a good question. Is it the council? You know, the council is where we're training, but I think, you know, that everybody looks to the council, or is it UCDAA? But regardless, that's not what we're here to decide right now. So the District Attorneys Association of New York, they established a committee, which in turn established then these subcommittees. And so that's where they're getting the buy-in from all of the district attorneys in New York, is it was their governing body that has established it. And so then what these other states are doing is they're also creating these committees under, you know, either the umbrella of the their equivalent of their UPC or under their District Attorneys Association. And then they're finding the areas that they want to focus on in their particular states. But it's really the big issues that are out there: body cameras, Brady Giglio issues, ethics, witness identification. Those seem to be kind of the big areas that every state is interested in and is looking at. And so then that's where they have these subcommittees, and they do the research, and they come back. Now, what they do then with that information varies. Some states, the District Attorneys Association has some press person, and they're constantly going to the press and releasing news releases. Hey, this is what we're doing. Others, you know, they do a lot of community outreach. And so I don't know that there's a template per se that's written down other than, you know, they're following the New York model. That's kind of what we're proposing that we do as well.
May I jump in on that part of the council? Just an observation. I see the UCDAA group and SWAP, that their roles are primarily legislative, civil, and criminal, and they're not really set up to be to have the nuts and bolts committees type things. I mean, this is just me talking, and I don't know how the rest of you feel. So, and UPC is that committee, and it does make sense to have buy-in by all the groups.
Absolutely.
I think your committee could have perhaps leadership from SWAP, leadership from the UCDAA, so that is there's a reporting function to the extent that they can do that and have that. But this group is kind of the nuts and bolts, get it done, train and do that, and you're right in the middle of the issues with people all the way around. So just a consideration, and I don't know what's going to happen, but you'd mentioned the Sixth Amendment Center. I foresee that there will be a commission created for public defenders, and they will probably have a group similar to what you do in terms of training for the defense attorneys, and I could see them also heading down the road, trying to come up with best practices from their perspective. So,
I agree with that, and I'm following up with what Scott was saying. I think part of their bylaws or process, whatever you want to call it, would be presentations to UCDAA. I mean, because Mark is on there, obviously he's part of that, and the UMAA.
Right, and that's the intent, you know, to include, you know, Mark Thomas, he's the chair of UCDAA. The thought process is to also include the chair-elect, I think, which is James, you know, so we would invite him. He wouldn't necessarily be a voting member while he's chair-elect, but he would be there to see what the issues are. Then when he becomes chair, this is the same with UMPA, then they become voting members, but then they would also like to include them when they're in their year after they have been the chair, they still continue to come, you know, for that input, guidance, but not necessarily be, you know, a voting member. But of course, that can change. I mean, this is just something, you know, that we have proposed, and we can certainly change that. But we do agree we have to have the buy-in from each of those groups, and that we need to then, or that I keep saying we, the committee would then need to report back to each of these groups and get that buy-in. So, you know, is like I said, they have no authority. They can't force anybody to do anything. It's just the
advisory.
All, right. You all don't have time to do the research. And so they do. I mean, we would choose people that have that interest in that and that can use that time. So, you know, and then to come back and report to agencies like this, okay, here's what we've spent 3 months reviewing and investigating, here's what we've come up with.
I think most of us can barely make it to the meetings we have scheduled now, so I just wonder if people will take the time to participate in more meetings and more travel.
Well, it is like, I think, I'm just thinking out loud, is that we would make it part of this. Yeah, okay, so it would make these meetings longer. But yeah, we wouldn't want to come up with necessarily a separate meeting, because it is hard to get everybody together. So we would try
and
to.
And they would do the research by assignment elsewhere.
Oh yeah, all of that would be done.
But you could just coordinate it as part of what we already have existing.
Right, so exactly. So I or whoever the chair of that committee is, they would, you know, collate, get all the information, submit it so that you have time to review it before we ever meet. And so then it's just simply a review of what's already been submitted. Ask questions, send them back, hey, we've got, we're concerned about this. So that's my proposal.
I think it's appropriate. I mean, we got to get ahead of the curve. I mean, look how many times we get caught, you know, chasing from behind. I mean, the Sixth Amendment thing is just out of control.
I have a lot to say about that. I think Tony Bear shared some of my